Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please come in and find your seat. It's time to begin chapel. I missed you guys on Tuesday, but I know you had a good time if you were here. If you weren't, you didn't miss anything because you didn't miss seeing me, right? So, hey, we're here together this morning. Now, let's invite someone to come up, and I want you to give her a warm welcome. We want to invite Meredith up from Gloria to Camps. Come up, Meredith. We're going to have a word from Meredith. Meredith is also an alumni of Criswell College. She graduated in 08 when I graduated with my master's degree. So she's going to let you know about an opportunity for the summer.
Thanks. Hi, good morning. How are you guys? Good. This light is so bright. Woo. Yes, I today represent Glorieta Camps out of New Mexico, but 11 years ago, I was sitting here in chapel just like you guys, but we at that time had chapel upstairs, and we didn't have it down here, so they said, do you know where you're going? And I was like, of course I do, and then there was no one in there, so thank you to Corey for finding us. Yeah, anyhow, my time at Criswell was really just gold is how I would describe that. And I hope that it's been as rich for you as it was for me. And your professors, people I see in this room right now are the best and wisest people on the planet and love Jesus the most. And so I hope that you don't ever take that for granted, because when I talk about my school time here, I say it was the best all the time. And I just have the most wonderful things to say about it. So I hope that it's as good for you as it was for me. So I've been at Glorieta ever since I was done here, so long time, 11 years, I guess. And our mission there is to inspire Christ-like change through outdoor adventure, authentic relationships, and biblical truth. And we are looking for people to join us on that mission. So every summer we hire around 250 college-age staff. Then we also have high school volunteers, and we have senior adult volunteers. And so with all of those people together, it takes around 300 plus people, because we serve around 22,000 people a summer. And so we're just looking for wonderful people who love the Lord and want to serve. And y'all are people who I think do both here, love the Lord and want to serve. So we have all kinds of opportunities, whether you are wanting to hit the road and travel and set up camp every week in a different church across the United States with our city camp, or you want to lead families on adventures at camp, or you want to help serve our 17,000 plus high school students in the rental program there at Glorieta. We have all kinds of opportunities. So stop by our table, get a donut, get a sticker. We would love to tell you about it. Again, you guys are some of the most blessed and most rich people in the world right now, because you're being taught the Word of God and you're surrounded by people who love Him and want to make Him known. And so as you get filled up, I encourage you to go out, serve, pour out over and over again. And if you need a place to do it, we want to be your place. So come by, see us. It's good to have you here. It's good to be here. That's it.
Thank you. Okay, so I'll remind you again at the end of chapel, when we're done here, they have a table up in the coffee shop. Go up there, talk to them, grab some coffee, grab a donut, and hear about those opportunities. And spend the summer in New Mexico, right, if you'd like to do that, and working out there. What's that? All right, high as 80 degrees. So, yeah, sounds suspicious to me. I am suspect of that. All right, so I have three other announcements to make to you this morning, then we're going to invite Dr. Woodell to come and introduce our chapel speaker. The first one is Criswell Coffee House is tonight. That's tonight from 6:30 to 8:30. I think the weather's going to hold out, so we're going to be outside. There's going to be live music, free coffee, s'mores, and more, it says. So we'll find out what the more is when it happens. So plan to come, and we look forward to seeing you there at 6:30. Also, I know you're ready for this. Spring break is next week, right? So, yes, the 11th through the 14th. That says 11th through the 15th. Ooh, Josiah. That's okay, Josiah. We'll let you go. I make enough mistakes without you helping me, though. I just want you to know that. So the 11th through the 15th. And so enjoy your spring break. I hope you have an opportunity to rest and recover and get ready to push hard through the rest of the semester. For those of you that have work that you have to get caught up on, take some time, take one day, make sure you get that rest that you need. So spring break next week, the third thing and final thing, beginning after spring break from 12:15 to 1:15 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, there's open gym volleyball for pickup games in the newly redone gym. So if you like to play volleyball, the net will be up. You can just go in there after chapel Tuesday and Thursdays, grab you a team, get going. The gym is also available for use after 5 on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. So enjoy that. They've got the floor fixed, recovered, everything's safe, and you'll have a good time in there if you choose to participate. So without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Joe Waddell.
Before I introduce our chapel speaker today, Glorietta. Go to Glorietta. Yeah, I got to go this past year with Garrett Wagner's, whatever he does out there with the SBTC. What's it called? M3, right? And took the whole family, and we hiked out there. We had a great time. Did the workers get a day off? Sometimes they get a day off. All right, sometimes it's an afternoon. Okay, good. Paid positions. That's what you want. And you also want to get the experience and have the opportunity to serve. So I highly recommend it. It's gorgeous out there. Loved every minute of it. Okay, our speaker today, Kaysen Branch. Thank you for being here. Give Kaysen a hand this morning. Thank him for being here. Kaysen Branch is lead pastor at Creekstone Church, right down the street from me in Keller, where I live. I guess you live out there too. And so we're neighbors. Praise the Lord. I'm glad there are church planters out there. He led the launch of the Creekstone Church in 2016 and has been there ever since. He's the lead pastor there. He holds the Master of Arts in Christian Leadership from Dallas Theological Seminary, Bachelor's in Business Administration and Marketing from University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, began his professional career with AT&T as a member of their leadership development program, and then served as chief operations officer at Concord Church in Dallas. He's married to his college sweetheart, praise the Lord, Shanae, and they have two children, Owen and Caden. Really glad you're here. Looking forward to what the Lord would say to us through you as you preach his word this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your salvation and for the filling and ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, purify us, and equip us this morning to serve you more faithfully and more fully. Lord, please forgive us for our many sins. Help us to follow you more closely. And let today's chapel service, all that we do as we listen to the preaching, as we sing and worship, as we fellowship with one another, pray, Father, that it would be a way that would glorify you and that would equip us to serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you give God praise again for this music ministry that has blessed us? We are grateful for the word that is also sung today, amen. To Dr. Creamer, God bless you for your stellar leadership of this great institution. To Dr. Campbell for this gracious invitation, thank you so much for your warm welcome. I have to admit that I'm a bit spoiled this morning. I'm a church planter, and so this is about the crowd that I see on Sunday morning. I feel okay about that, but I'm a little bit spoiled this morning. They came and mic'd me up. I got like headsets on this morning. Like I'm usually with a handheld, so this is a little bit different for me this morning. We normally have to set up and break down and all of that good stuff, so I'm a little bit spoiled this morning as a church planter, and I receive it. Amen. Faculty, staff, students, God bless you. My assignment today is just to preach the word of God. My prayer is that you are encouraged today to be a witness for the Lord. That the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you will not only apply it to your life, but that you would share it with everyone, everywhere that you go. Turn with me, if you will, in your copy of God's word to Luke 24. Luke 24. As you're turning there, I want to thank my friend and brother Caleb Turner for being here today. Amen. He brought an amen in his back pocket. Use it generously. Amen. Luke chapter 24. We're going to camp out at verses 44 through 49. Luke 24, verses 44 through 49. And will you have it? Would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? And I want y'all to say that Dr. Campbell brought me all the way from Fort Worth and didn't move you not one time. Go ahead and take care of that now. Luke 24, verses 44 through 49, and it reads, "He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.'" Friends, for our time together, I want to preach from the subject, a message hidden in plain sight. Let's pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our holy God. A message hidden in plain sight. Mount Rushmore National Memorial is a sculpture carved into the granite face of Mount Rushmore. It features the faces of four United States presidents, Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln. It's visited by more than 2 million people every year and is a favorite for many families. At the memorial, there is something hidden in plain sight. Behind the head of George Washington is a secret chamber that's been there since its inception. This chamber is the Hall of Records. It wasn't completed, but it was supposed to house the most precious documents of our country so that they would be preserved for future generations. The thought was that future generations will be able to review them and know what was at the foundation of our country's founding as told by the founders. That if the country ever had to hit the reset button, that they would be able to do so confidently, knowing that they were doing so based on the founding documents that made the country great the first time. The Hall of Records was never finished for the United States, but the Hall of Records for the Lord Jesus Christ was finished a long time ago. Our Hall of Records is preserved in this word, this Bible, this word. It serves as a place where past, present, and future generations will be able to go to restart our lives based on the message found in this word that's based on the founding documents of our faith, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Friends, you want to pay attention to today's sermons because we're talking about the foundational documents, the foundational elements of our faith that allows us to be confident that the God that we serve is real and in control. And because my faith is rooted and grounded in him, I can be confident in my identity in Christ. I am who he says that I am. I can do what he says that I can do according to his word. That I am victorious in him and no devil in hell can steal my joy. I know, friends, I know that we live in times where some say that you can't know the truth, that we can't trust Christianity of the God or the gospel. But I plead with you to take a tour with me through the Hall of Records. Take a tour with me through the Lord's Hall of Records with me, and you'll discover that the gospel message is real and true. That you'll discover that, like the disciples did, that knowing this message, radically changes lives and moves your life in a greater direction than you ever imagined as he grows you for his good and glory. This is the message that the disciples learn in our text today. In Luke 24, as they sit in a locked room after the crucifixion, they have seen him crucified, dead, and buried. They're hurt and confused because Jesus has been with them for 3 years teaching and training them. He had shared with them concerning the kingdom of heaven, but they didn't really fully understand it. They didn't really truly get it. He's now in their presence, and he has authenticated who he is. He's allowed them to touch the nail prints in his hands and the nail prints in his feet. Gets a piece of fish and eats it so that they will know that I am really him. I'm not a ghost. Ghosts don't have flesh. They don't have holes in their hands and feet. He authenticates who he is. After proving that he's the risen Lord, he begins to tell them that what has happened was what had to happen in order for salvation to be made possible for the world. He then opens their minds so that they could understand the scriptures as he walked them through from the beginning, walks them through the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. He walks them through, friends. He walks them through the scriptures from the beginning. He explains the scriptures and how they all pointed to him. He then commissions them as witnesses and promises to send them the Holy Spirit as previously promised by the Father. Jesus took them through the Hall of Records and decoded the greatest message ever given along the way. He unpacks the gospel and then sends them on mission to live their lives sharing the message and living for him. That's the charge to each of us, friends. Then once you grasp the truth of the gospel, he then calls you to be a witness and share it with someone else. As you do, friends, he calls you to also live for him as you repent from sin and grow in your daily walk. Will you be on mission for the Lord? Will you be a witness for him? Oh, no, I'm not just talking about doing the work of witnessing. I'm talking about being a witness. Because witnessing is not just something that we do, it's who we are. It's who we are, friends. Will you be a witness or will you just be a scholar? Will you be a witness or will you just be a seminarian? Will you be a witness? Will you be a witness or will you be a holy policeman ready to beat someone over the head with what they've done wrong? Will you be a witness? Friends, I encourage you today to be a witness that the Lord has called you to a ministry assignment. For some of us, he has made it clear. For some of us, he has called us to trust him by faith and prepare for what he will reveal to us. Some of us will go on the mission field, and some of us will go into churches, and some of us will go into parachurch ministries, friends. But wherever you go, I want you to know that the Lord is preparing you to be a witness. Not just as a seminarian, friends, but also as a believer in Jesus Christ. This is our call. This is our responsibility that if you have seen something, you ought to say something. Be a witness, friends. Friends, if you're going to be a witness and live for Christ and share the message as he's called you to do, friends, and first you need to know a few things about this message that we believe. You're a witness. And here's what you need to know about this message. First of all, this message is a consistent message. It's a consistent message, friends. Verse 44, I know you have your Bibles open, friends. Verse 44 says, he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Then he begins to expound. He says, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus is speaking, friends. And what he's telling them in that moment is what he has told them all along. Bible readers know he has been with them for nearly 3 years now. He's been with them and he has taught them, he has trained him, but he has also revealed who he is. He's revealing over time, but they didn't fully grasp it because he has concealed his identity, and in some ways he has concealed his identity, but he begins to reveal it to them over time. He is revealing this consistent message. In fact, John 14, he is gathered together with his disciples. He is talking to them concerning the kingdom, and he begins to tell them how he's going to be soon plucked away from them. The disciples, they get upset. They get indignant. He says, no, this has to happen. They are upset. They are indignant. No, not you, Lord. Not the God I serve. They won't do this to you. And Jesus begins to comfort them with these words. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Some versions say many mansions. If it were not so, wouldn't I have told you so? I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will return again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place that I am going. Thomas answered him and said, Lord, how can we know the way if we don't yet know where you're going? And Jesus answered him and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. This is a consistent message, friends. He's saying, I am the way to the Father. That if you want a relationship with God, if you want to be fully restored to him, then it is through me. It's a consistent message that the Lord Jesus had told them the whole time. It was a consistent message, friends, that he was verbally given to them, friends, but it is also a consistent message that we have written for us. From Genesis to Revelation. This is the story. This is the narrative, the story of redemption between God and man. It all points to him. The Old Testament says it's coming. The Gospels say that he's here, and the letters say that he came. Revelation says he's coming back again. But no matter how you slice it, friends, this entire word, the word of God that we have, friends, is consistent from cover to cover. It is a consistent message. It's not only a consistent message, but it's also a credible message. Verse 44 again, he says, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything that must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. He begins to talk about this message, this everything that was written about me, and he props it up on the foundation of the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. This Old Testament, the Old Testament scrolls that they have that he knows points to him. But it is a credible message, friends, is because this message, this law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms were given to us by credible men. It was given to us by credible men who would authenticate that I am bringing a word from the Lord. This is a message from God. Oh, and by the way, here's a miracle to authenticate that I am who I say I am, and he is who he says that he is. I just want to believe, and when we look at the law of Moses, friends, I just want to believe that if I had been with Moses that day, when they were facing the Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh and his army behind them, Moses, by the power of the Lord, opens the sea, and they walk through on dry ground. I just believe if I had walked through on dry ground, that when he says, my God is God, I have to believe that that's a credible message. I can believe it, friends. I've seen the plagues. I've been walking around dry ground. He is, yeah. Moses said that he's here on behalf of God. Guess what? His God is God. Moses was credible, but then also the prophets were credible, too. Prophets were credible, friends. I just happen to believe, friends. I want to believe that if I had been with Elijah when he called down fire from heaven, when he rained down fire from heaven, I just want to believe that if I had been there that day, then I would say, when you say that your God is God, guess what? He's God. What about David? David, he's credible, friends. David gives us most of the Psalms. He gives us a great portion of the Psalms, friends. I just want to believe that if I had been there when David slew Goliath, when he slew the Philistine with the stone, friends, I just want to believe that when he says, my God is God, he's God. These credible men begin to write, and they leave us a consistent and credible message that they have authenticated that I am really here on behalf of God. You've seen the His power working in and through me, and now I'm writing because I want to leave you a credible message. Not only a credible message, but then, Dr. Campbell, it is a complete message. It's a complete message, friends. You look at verse 44 again. Friends, can I squeeze all the juice I can out of verse 44? Let me ring it out. He says, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the saints. He says, everything must be fulfilled that was previously written about me. Jesus has been prophesied about over 300 times in the Old Testament. Throughout Scripture, friends, He is prophesied about His birth, His life, His death, and even His resurrection has been prophesied about. He begins to go about the business of fulfilling Scripture about Himself, friends. He fulfills Scripture about Himself, friends, that when he says that the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, this has already been prophesied about Him, friends. So He goes to the cross. He doesn't come back. He doesn't rise from the dead on the second day because it wouldn't fulfill Scripture. He doesn't play possum like He's kind of dead. He really died. Didn't He die? I couldn't help myself. This is a complete message, friends. And He goes about the business of fulfilling Scripture about Himself, friends. Psalm 2 and Psalm 22 and Psalm 110, friends. Psalm 69. And he goes over to the book of Isaiah and fulfills prophecy about Himself. Over and over again, we see where the Lord is fulfilling prophecy about Himself. And He looks in the Scriptures and He opens their minds so that they can see that, look, everything that was written about me in the Old Testament, I'm really just fulfilling that right now, friends. I'm giving you a complete message. Friends, because we have this consistent, credible, and complete message, we can be confident in our walk with Christ, believing that we are who He says that we are. We can do what He says that we can do. We can be confident in our identity in Him. That even as He is victorious over death, hell, and the grave, we too are victorious over any issue in our life that we face because we are connected to the victorious one. That we have Jesus, friends. And He makes the difference in our lives as we experience His grace day by day. We have Him, friends. We have this message that has been commended to us and is hidden in plain sight. He's saying, I want you to take it to everyone, everywhere you go, so that it can be revealed to them. That's your response to understanding the gospel, friends. That you ought to share it everywhere you go. That you ought to be His witness. Can we look at our response to understanding this message? It's the first thing we ought to do, friends, is we understand this gospel message, friends, is we need to use the message to our advantage. You need to use this message to your advantage. Verse 48, he says, you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things, friends. You are witnesses. He could have said, you are teachers of these things. He didn't say that. He didn't say that because then you would be relying on your ability to teach. He could have said, you will be my scholars. He didn't do that because then you would be dependent on your intellect. No, he says, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. The imagery that I get is I am on a witness stand. That's what witnesses do, right? Witnesses testify. They have seen something. They have heard something. They have credible information that is valuable, friends, that are valuable in the court of law, friends. Most of the time, I watch CSI and Law and Order and all of that, friends. I'm addicted to it. And I love when they're in the courtroom. I love when they're in the courtroom and the witness gets on the stand. The witness is expected to testify, amen? Likewise, friends, you are a witness in the courtroom and you are expected to testify. You are expected to tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ that you believe. But I caution you, friends, that when you get on the witness stand, that you have a prosecutor.
that there is someone that's going to accuse you. Your enemy, Satan, does not like that you carry the gospel. That's why you're under attack like you are. Now, you thought you were coming to seminary to prepare, and here you are experiencing loss. The Lord called you, he anointed you, here you are in seminary. Surely things are going to be perfect from here, and here you are struggling for provision. Come on, somebody give me one amen. You have a prosecutor who will accuse you. Wait, you're talking about the gospel? Hold on, before you get there, wasn't it you that said? Wasn't it you that did? Wasn't it you that went there? Wasn't it you that answered that DM message? Wasn't it you that made that phone call you shouldn't have made? Wasn't it you that went where you shouldn't have gone? Wasn't it you? Wasn't it you? Wasn't it you? Yes, it's me. I've got to testify that I did it, but I can boldly stand up to him and testify that I did it, because I have applied the gospel to my life as a witness. And because I have applied the gospel to my life, I have what's called immunity. Immunity, friends, this idea of immunity is that you need to tell what you did. You got to confess. But you won't fully receive all the ramifications. You won't deal with all of the ramifications of your offense. Likewise, friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, when we apply the gospel to our lives, friends, we get immunity. That the ultimate wrath of God is not against us. Sure, there may be some consequences to our sins, friends, but thanks be to God that the ultimate wrath of God is not against us. Not only is the ultimate wrath of God not against me, but friends, I don't have to walk around in the guilt of sin and shame because I am not perfect yet. He is still moving and working in my life, friends. I have to apply the gospel in my life because I don't want the ultimate wrath of God to be against me, but I also don't want to walk around with the guilt and shame that the enemy wants to shackle to me as well. You look at the Hall of Records, friends. We open the Hall of Records as pointed out by Jesus in this text. If we look at the Psalms, I found a Psalm of David, friends, that talks about this immunity that we receive. He says in Psalm 103, he says around verse 7, he says, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse. He will not always accuse. Nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Do you see the immunity, friends? He says, I'm trying to give you immunity, but you have to cooperate with me and be a witness. Apply this gospel to your life, friends. Now, I want you to know that salvation covers sins, but not all consequences. That you get your slate wiped clean as he walks with you through this life. If you're saved, friends, I want to remind you to apply the grace to your life daily, to let it revive and to refresh you, friends, that you need to use this message to your advantage. Not only use it to your advantage, friends, but you ought to share the message with others. Verse 48 says, you are witnesses. That you are witnesses, friends, that you're not just talking to yourself, that you're sharing it with others. He calls them to be witnesses because he expects them to testify. You ought to start with your, likewise, friends, you ought to start with your story, because being a witness is who you are, like I said, and not just what you do. That we are called to be witnesses and as well as to do witnesses. That we ought to share it with others, and then others ought to see our life line up with what the Lord has, how the Lord has called us to live. We all have a once was, friends. We all have a once was, those dead things in our lives, friends, that we ought to be willing to share with others that what the Lord has brought you through. Here's the thing about dead things, friends. Dead things can be used as fertilizer to help things grow. I'm from the country. I'm from a small town in Arkansas, friends. And people from small towns know that you use anything as mulch. Old banana peels and vegetables, you know, anything can be used as mulch. It smells horrible. It stinks because it is, it's dead, it's rotten, it is sometimes waste. It is the best fertilizer country folks know is manure. Friends, those dead things, those unuseful things in your life that the Lord has brought you through, friends, you ought to use it, to share it with others of what the Lord has done in your life. It may be what helps them to grow. I made it out, and so can you too. That the Lord has done a work in my life that he has done what I thought was the impossible. I know that it's possible, friends, that he can do the impossible for you too. If you don't have a once was, it's probably because you have a I am right now. That here you are struggling and wrestling with your sin condition, friends, and here it is. The Lord is saying, my grace is covering you, friends, until you get it together. That there are no perfect people here, friends. There are no perfect people. I want you to grow in me, friends, but as you are growing, I'm not waiting until you get perfect before I commit this message of reconciliation to you, friends. I'm calling you to share with others even while you're going through your struggle. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the message that Paul that we're given as ambassadors, friends. Be reconciled to God. That's what he's saying, friends, that you ought to testify. That we need to share the message with others, friends. But then he also says, friends, lastly, he says that we ought to bear the burden of being a witness. He says you need to use the message to your advantage. Apply the gospel to your own life. He said you need to share the message with others. Share with somebody else, friends. But then he says you need to bear the burden of being a witness. He says in verse 49, friends, he says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. He's promising the Holy Spirit, but he's sending them. He's saying, I want you to go in Jerusalem and stay there. He's giving them this great commission. The great commission is said to have been given four times. That the Great Commission that we find in Matthew 28 is not just the only time that the Great Commission was given, that it was given in John chapter 20, and it was given again in Mark, and then it was given in two other places. It's given here in Luke 24, and most scholars believe that here in Luke 24 is the same story, a parallel to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, we see in this passage, we see that he tells him to go to the city, to stay in the city, meaning Jerusalem. But in Acts 1 and 8, he tells him that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But he first sends them to Jerusalem, the last place that they wanted to go. Jerusalem, a hostile place for Christians, Jerusalem. He says, I want you to take it to Jerusalem. They don't want to hear about me. This is strange. This is foreign to them, this message of grace and reconciliation that I'm trying to give them through me. He says, they don't want to hear it, but I want you to take it anyway. Friends, that's our charge. To take the gospel even to places where they don't want to hear it. He says, I know they don't want to hear it at your job, but you ought to live it out so they can see it. I know some of your friends from your past, they don't want to hear it, but I'm calling you to say something anyway. You went to the family reunion and you know who needs the Lord Jesus Christ in your family. He says, I know they don't want to hear it, but I want you to take it anyway. It is a burden that we carry. Some of you will go to the mission field. Take it to the mission field. Some of you will be in churches, will be in pulpits. Take it to your church. Even the church, some people don't want to hear the truth of the gospel. We want to hear how to grow our hair and lose weight and exercise and how to cook healthy meals and everything but the gospel, friends. He says, I want you to take it to your churches. says, I want you to take it to Starbucks. I want you to take it to the basketball court. I want you to take this gospel everywhere you go, especially to hostile places where people don't want to hear it. Since we bear this burden of taking the gospel to places that don't want to hear it, but we also bear the burden of being a witness and stop sinning. That's what he calls you to do, friends, as a witness. He calls you also to stop sinning. He says, you are my witnesses. But remember, this witness, as witnesses, we have immunity. Friends, when you are granted immunity, I learned this from Law and Order. When you're granted immunity, you agree to testify, but you also agree to stop whatever criminal activity that you were engaged in. That if you were selling drugs and you testify, you can't keep selling drugs. And no, that don't add up. I said, look, tell us what you know, but also stop doing what you're doing. And the Lord says the same thing as witnesses, friends. I want you to tell what you know, but I also want you to stop doing what you're doing. I want you to stop sinning, friends. He says, I want you to be a credible witness. When you make this deal for immunity, you stop whatever criminal activity you're doing. And friends, when you accept immunity from the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to stop your criminal activity as well. He hates sin. Stop it. Leviticus 20 says it this way, you are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. 1 Peter says it this way, for it is written, be holy, for I am holy. He calls us to a holy lifestyle, friends. And that is the burden that we carry. Being a witness. We are not perfect, but we are being perfected day by day. It's a sweet burden. But we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry this burden. Friends, being a Christian carries a responsibility of holiness. And if you want to be a citizen of God's kingdom, you got to accept the rules of the king. Friends, the message we have is real truth. If you accept it and live according to God's design, you will find yourself flourishing in the will of God. Here's the big idea, friends. Here's what I'm trying to share with you. Here's your sermon in a tweet, friends. The secret to a fruitful life is found in an identity in Christ. Discover this treasure and live richly for him. I'll close when I tell you, my wife and I bought our first house years ago. We were gifted with paintings from her cousin. Her cousin is an artist, lives in New York. He sold paintings for many years. And he sold paintings for many years. He sent us these paintings, and we had to have framed. We got this one frame and placed it on the wall. They're really nice. And we thanked him and everything. But Caleb, about 6 months later, we saw him at the family reunions. Hey, cuz, man, thanks for those paintings, man. We love them. We love looking at them. They're so beautiful. People come over to the house all the time. They look at them. They're always complimenting on us, especially the one, the big one that you sent on the canvas. Man, that is so nice. Thank you so much. He said, yeah, that's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. He says, I'm an abstract artist. And I often hide things in my paintings. He said, in that particular painting, that's one of my favorites. He said, do you see the people in the painting? We said, no, we hadn't noticed any people in the painting. Like, there's people in there? He said, yeah. He said, when you get home, I want you to trace the brown lines in the painting. Sure enough, we got home. We looked at the painting, and we turned our head to the side and turned this way. We looked at it. My wife said, oh, I see it. She went to the painting and she began to outline. She said, look right here. She began to trace this brown line. And sure enough, in that painting the whole time had been two people who were just standing there the whole time. The author revealed it to us. And then what happened was, because, you know, we got this special painting now, people come over to the house and they compliment us on the painting. We let them look at it for a little while. And then we say, do you see the people? They're like, no, I don't see the people. Then I go up and I trace the brown line and I will reveal the people in the painting. They say, oh, I see it. I'm able to reveal it to them because the originator of the painting revealed it to me. Friends, likewise in our lives, there is a message hidden in plain sight. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. When you gain the message, when you understand it, friends, when the author of our salvation, when he gives it to you, when you understand it, now that you know it, your responsibility is to go out and show it to somebody else, to reveal it to somebody else, so that others can live in him as well. That you enjoy the beauty of living a gospel-centered life. He wants you to reveal it to others so that they can live in a gospel-centered life as well. We have a message hidden in plain sight. It has been revealed to us, committed to us, and now the Lord expects us to share it with everyone, everywhere we go. Let us pray. Father, we come and we are grateful. Even now, we thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word. Lord, we pause to humbly thank you for what you did at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, that you made salvation available to us, that it has always been your plan. It was not plan B, it was just your plan. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and for reconciling us to the Father. And we pray that we, now that the message has been revealed to us, as you prepare us for the ministry journey ahead, help us, Lord God, with passion to reveal the gospel to others, that they can live in you as well. Father, we love you, we trust you, we bless you even now. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we do pray. And the people of God said amen. God bless you.
Amen. Let's give Reverend Kasen a hand. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, of course, if you're here this morning, or if you end up listening to this on the podcast as part of your chapel requirement, and you're in the Mid-Cities area over there in Keller, there's a church plant where there is some good preaching and where they need somebody to come and help them be a witness in that community. Amen. So go and be a part of what they're doing over there. Also, be sure to take the time when we're finished up to go upstairs, talk with Meredith and the other folks from Glorietta. If you're interested in an opportunity to go out there and serve in whatever capacity, whatever opportunities they have, you need to get that information. You should also get an email over the course of the next couple days. We want to try to arrange that for you so you can have some other information. And also for people that are listening today and they didn't get to visit the booth, they'll get information as well. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. And my prayer is you have a great day. Okay, Father, we love you. We thank you for today. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, that you would give us a depth of knowledge, but that you would give us boldness and courage to be your witnesses. Lord, that we would go out and let people know about what you've done in our life, about what the gospel is. I love right there in the middle of that passage the idea of repentance and forgiveness. And that conjunction matters. It's repentance and forgiveness, not repentance or forgiveness. And the order matters. It's repentance first and then forgiveness. And so, Lord, we have experienced that, so we can share that and we can hopefully reveal that to someone else and that they would be able to understand your gospel, respond to it, and experience the same salvation and sanctification that we are experiencing today. So we do pray for Creekstone as they continue to do their work, Lord. I pray for Kasen as he is over there ministering, that you would increase their church, that you would increase their influence, that you would give him strength, that he would be able to be a good witness for you and Keller, and that you would bless everything that they do. We pray these things in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.